That's for sure. The Holy Spirit is flying all over this earth right now, stirring people up. Thank you, Lord. So my message is Holy Spirit. Am I lost again? I don't know why that does have it anyway. Have to move. I can't not move. Yeah. Father, we just thank you for your word today. We thank you for we've been able to come together. I ask you to bless everybody who's here, Father God. I thank you, Lord, for all their dedication, their servanthood, Father, their love for you, Lord, and their love for the body of Christ. I just thank you for each and everyone here, Lord. Thank you, Father, for what you want to say today. We want to be changed, Father. We don't want to stay the same. It's boring to stay the same. We don't want to be boring. We want to change. We want to be more fired up. We want to be more filled with your Spirit. So, Father, I just pray, I thank you, Lord, that you will watch over your word to perform it this morning. You'll perform your word in our lives, Father. That's what you said, you watch over your word to perform it. So we hold you to your word in the name of Jesus Christ. And we all said, amen. God is good
all the time.
And he's here with us right now. The Holy Spirit is with us right now. Jesus Christ is with us. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in your midst. So we've got Father, Son, Holy Spirit here watching. We've got the host of heaven. We've got all our guardian angels are packed in here. If God would open your eyes, you'd be amazed how many beings are in this place. And there are no demonic ones because I won't allow them in this place. They are not allowed. They have no place here. No, if they come here, they suffer. Amen? So, Holy Spirit and power, that's what we need to be. This is a powerful time to be on earth. The enemy, you know, he thinks it's time for one world government now. But I'll tell him, not yet. Not yet, because God is doing great things in the earth. He's not going to take his body out, his church out as a wimpy little sin-filled church. He's coming for a glorious church. Amen? Glorious. Filled with the glory of God. Filled with faith. Will he find faith? Yes. You, me, he will find faith when he comes to this earth. Because he's stirring the body of Christ up. So we can be ready for what God is about to do. I tell you what, the Spirit of God is going to explode all over our nation. Isn't that cool? He's going to explode all over this earth. His glory is going to cover. The knowledge of his glory is going to cover the whole earth. He is not taking us out until there's a glorious time, and we're a glorious church. All right? So, you know, don't be moved by what you see. The enemy has been fighting tooth and nail. He's been doing some terrible stuff. But I tell you what, he hasn't met the body of Christ like he's going to meet. He met Jesus, but he has not yet met the body of Christ in unity, in love, in power, empowered by the Holy Spirit. He's never seen us like he's going to see us soon, very soon. Why not today? Today, beginning today in this house anyway. All right, so let's have a look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But you shall receive power. Say power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, say upon me. And you shall be witnesses to me, Jesus, in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and New Zealand, to the end of the earth, where the utter parts of the earth. We're mentioned in the Bible, so we're important to God. This little nation is important to God. Isn't that right, Albert? Little old New Zealand. Amazing. So what will we be witnesses to? First, Christ's resurrection power. We are witnesses to his resurrection power, healing power, saving power, delivering power, miracle-working power. Thank you, Lord. You know, most of us here, if you're born again, then you have experienced the saving power of the Holy Spirit. Some of us have received the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Some of us have received the miracle-working power of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, we are new creations. We're not the old man anymore. We're new creations in Christ Jesus. New, brand new, powerful, filled with the Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit, he's the one who empowers us to do the works of Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to do. Jesus said in John 14, 12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, how many of you believe in him? Oh, I think, you all believe. How many of you believe in Jesus Christ? Okay, if you don't, if your hand's not up, you need to get saved. Okay, so Jesus said, most certainly, he who believes in me, that's us, the works that I do, will he also do, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. That's talking about you and me. That you, Jesus said, you will do the works that I do, and even greater works are you going to do. So we need to expand our thinking. Let's not have just little thinking. Oh, I can just do that. I can do this little bit. You know, I can do this little bit for God. Hey, you could do mighty works for God. You could do great works for him. Jesus said it himself, that you could do even greater works than he did. And he did mighty works. In fact, we don't even know half of what he did, because it said if they wrote in the Bible everything that he had done, they couldn't. It would probably fill up the books from here to the moon or whatever. Heaps. So he did a lot of things that we don't know about, but he says even greater works are we going to do. He saved the best to last. And you're here for this very moment. It says in Acts 10:38 how God anointed Jesus, even Jesus, the Son of Almighty God. Remember, he divested himself of all his rights as God, left them, came down here took on flesh. He didn't have to get born again because he was alive. He was God, so he didn't have to get born again. But it says that God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. So he still needed that, like we do. We need to be anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So we could say that, how God anointed Gary, Taka, Peter, Lisa, Albert, and all of the whole church. So you can, shook the water. It's raining. Raining showers of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so God has anointed, put yourself there, Robin, whatever your name is, with the Holy Spirit and with power. And I go about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil, for God is with me. See, put it in the now, you, in the personal. That's what you need to do. God, you have anointed me with the Holy Spirit and with power. And I go about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil, for God is with me. You know, get some boom in there, okay? Some fight. You know, we've got to have fight in us. Because the enemy's fighting us. We've got to have some fight in us. We can't be placid. This is the army of God. You don't have placid people in the army. You have to be ready to fight. Isn't that right? You have time, you know, you could go to the mess? They do in Air Force, but I don't know, the mess is not mean a mess. The mess is where they go to eat. Perhaps they make a mess. So, anyway, but this is, we're meant to be powerful. We need to be ready. You've got the power of God inside. You have the power, the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we can confidently say that God has anointed me with the Holy Spirit and with power. So that we can do the works of Jesus Christ and greater. So we need to ask ourselves, are we confident in saying God has anointed me? We need to be confident in this, guys. Be confident. If you're born again, you can be confident. That's who you are. You're anointed of the Holy Spirit and with power. And God wants you to go around doing good and healing all, setting people free of the enemy, in your prayer closet, in your workplace, just being there. You know, you're carrying the anointing. I tell you what, the anointing gets all over people, and it breaks the yoke. Anointing breaks the yoke. So these are the days of God's power and his glory. And one thing I know without a doubt, God will not give his glory to those he cannot trust with his power. So we've got to make sure we get rid of any sin, get rid of pride, get rid of unforgiveness and offense. Sort it out. Sort it out. You're born of God. You can do it. You're a brand new creation. You've been made the righteousness of God in Him. You say, well, I don't know how to fight sin. Just look at who you are. Remind yourself who I am. I'm been made the righteousness of God in Him. Do the righteous act like that? No. Okay, well, I better not do that because I am the righteousness of God in Him. He said, be holy as I am holy. He wouldn't put that on us if we couldn't be holy. Isn't that right, Wayne? No, we can do it. Say, I can do it. I can live a holy life. And holy is not boring. It's fun. Yeah, good. Got to believe it. Okay. All right, Jesus said, you shall receive power. Receive it. You don't beg for it. You don't have to demand it. You just receive it. If I came, if I had a gift and I held out the gift to Peter, you know, he doesn't have to beg for that gift. He said, I got this gift for you, Peter. He doesn't have to stand there begging for it or demanding, give me the gift, give me the gift. He could say, I don't want the gift. And he could say, you know, if he won't receive it, he won't get it. You've got to say, I receive it. I receive the Holy Spirit. Father, I ask to be filled with your Holy Spirit, and I receive him right now. I receive all that he is. I receive his anointing. Amen? Do you see how that happens? See, God makes it simple, because we can be a bit stupid sometimes. That's true. It's so true, isn't it? Okay. So, you know, we receive power when? When the Spirit of God comes upon us. Jesus said, you receive power when the Spirit of God comes upon you. And he cannot come upon someone, let me just say this, he cannot come upon someone before they receive Jesus Christ. You need to receive Jesus Christ. You've got to be saved, and then the Holy Spirit's right there for you to be filled up. You know, when you get born again, the Holy Spirit creates a new person on the inside. He comes alongside us. But you can have more. You can receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And you ask for the power. Father, I ask for the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, remember in the book of Acts, when they're all sitting in the upper room. But before that happened, they were waiting for the Holy Spirit. But they were born again because Jesus said, remember, before he went, he said, receive the Holy Spirit. He was imparting eternal life to them. New creation, sitting up there waiting for more. Isn't that good? There's always more. And the Bible talks about being filled. You know, keep being filled because we leak. There's a hole in the bucket, dear Elijah. Do many of you remember that song? I remember as a kid, the hole in the bucket, dear Elijah. Eliza, well, fix it, dear Henry, fix it. And he goes on, how shall I fix it, dear Elijah? Okay, well, you don't want to hear me singing this whole song. Took a while. He tried to talk to all sorts of things to fix the hole. But we, you know, we need to ask Holy Ghost, fill the holes. We got any? If we're leaking, fill us up. Get more and more and more of the Holy Spirit. So how do we receive? It says in Luke 11:13, Jesus said this, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. So in other words, if people who don't even know God, they know how to give good gifts to their kids, don't they? If their kids ask for, you know, assuming they're nice people, because, you know, some people aren't very nice, but you people, you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So if we would give good gifts to our kids, how much more? God's not withholding something from you that you need, that he's promised. He never does. So how much more will he give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So, okay, Jesus told his disciples in Luke 24:49, wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from high. We need that today more than ever. We need power from on high. It's from high, not from this earth. It's not from the the earthly realm. It's from the heavenly realm, from where God is and where Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, from on high. So this power comes through the Holy Spirit, sent from heaven to fill the body of Christ, the children of God, with himself to empower us. He is the supplier of power. Just like I'm part of Trust Power, they supply my power, but they don't supply my spiritual power. The Holy Spirit supplies the spiritual power. Amen? So it's real power that we're talking about. So many Christians are underpowered today. They're running on empty. Do you feel like that sometimes? I feel like I'm running on empty. Well, I think we've all felt like that. And when you're feeling like that, it's time to stop, to talk to God about it. Say, Lord, what's going on with me? You know, when I feel like that, I just start to, I lose stuff from my soul. I don't know. You know, think we're all around us, we're bombarded with negativity, aren't we? And just sometimes we just got to, Lord, I just loose all negativity from my soul. You know, anything that's hindering, I loose it all. Then I just ask, Father, just fill me with your life and with your power and with your love. Got to keep doing it. If you're feeling you're running on empty, you need to fill up again. So God, the Holy Spirit, you know, he wants us to stay filled with him. And we need to be conscious of his presence 24/7. He's not an option for the Christian. The Holy Spirit is not an option for us. He is the life of the Christian. He's the power of the Christian. And he's not someone you can pick up and put down when it suits us. Not at all. It says in Romans 28, chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, or it means with expressed in a language. Sometimes, you know, he makes intercession with us with groanings which cannot be expressed in a language that we know. We call that tongues. Do you know what you're saying when you're speaking in tongues? No. You know, I tell you what, there's private, you know, when you get filled with the Spirit, you know, God gives you the opportunity to have a private prayer language, which is really important. There's in a church situation, it's different. There's the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and one of the gifts is speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues. There are 9 gifts of the Spirit. And that's, someone will feel the Spirit come on them, declare something in tongues, and then someone else will interpret, or that person might interpret it. But I'm not talking about the gift of tongues in that way. I'm just talking about the something that you can pray privately yourself. It's your heavenly prayer language. And as you pray in tongues, I tell you what will happen. You will charge your spirit with his power. It says in Jude 20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So you can pray in your heavenly language. All right? And as you do that, it says that you're charging yourself up. You're building yourself up in your most holy faith. It does something on the inside of you. And it's good because your mind disconnects. Your mind just disconnects. And you just say, Holy Spirit, whatever you want to say, whatever you want. I remember a minister of God, God started to direct him into being more, I suppose, political, if you like, but more out there, you know, to do with the kingdom and stuff like that. And he said, Lord, I never asked for this. And he says, oh, you know, and the Lord spoke to him and he said, yes, you did. Every time you prayed in tongues, you were asking about this. So, beware. Well, that was crack up when I heard that. So you never know what you're praying. Sometimes you're praying in tongues. You're praying your future. And God's got you. He's not stupid like we are. That's for sure. Okay. So I just encourage you to use that. And if you perhaps have never... been, you know, spoken tongues, you know, we can help you. OK, can help you out. It's easy. God makes it easy. So the word for the Holy Spirit in the Greek is paraclete. It means the comforter. And we all sing about the comforter has come. But, you know, really that's misleading. It sounds like his ministry is solely for comforting us and saying, oh, there. No, that's not what it really means. The strict derivation of that word, it's comfortus, which means with strength. It's talking about strength, and also it talks about the Holy Spirit prodding, you know, like a cattle prod. Gives you a shot. And so he's the one who comforts, who strengthens, he's saying, I strengthen you, I enable you, I empower you with myself. That's great, isn't it? He's the one who comes to our side when we're sinking and he lifts us up. He puts new power and energy into us. He imparts power. He is it is the Holy Spirit alone who enables and empowers the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit is so important, and we just sometimes tack him on to our life. It says in 2 Corinthians 3, verses 5 and 6, and I've got that in the Passion, yes. And it says, yet we don't see ourselves as capable enough to do anything in our own strength. For our true competence flows from God's empowering presence, talking about the Spirit. He alone makes us adequate ministers who are focused. Now, that ministers, you're all ministers. Remember that? I'm not the only minister in this room. You are all ministers of God, okay? So, he alone makes us adequate ministers who are focused on an entirely new covenant. Our ministry, your ministry, is not based on the letter of the law, do this, do that. That's what it means. It's not that, but through the power of the Spirit. The letter of the law kills, but the Spirit pours out life. And so as Christians, we are ministers. Another version talks about we are ministers of the Spirit. So you say you are a minister of the Spirit of Almighty God. We are ministers of life because the Holy Spirit always gives life. Do you remember when Moses was up on the mountain? Remember when he had brought all the children of Israel over the Red Sea and they were in the wilderness? And then God says, I want you to come up to the mountain. He had to prepare the people because this is pretty powerful. God himself, not Jesus, not Holy Spirit, but God, Almighty God, huge God, came down on top of that mountain. They had to prepare themselves. And the Israelites weren't allowed to come near that because if they came too close, they would die. There was so much power emanating from that. Moses was a remarkable person, and he went up to meet God face to face. How about that? Wouldn't that be something else? And when he was up there, 6 weeks he was up there in the power and the presence of God. And I tell you what God did. God took him back in time and into the future. How can I say that? Well, I can say that because he wrote the first five books of the Bible and he explains completely what God was doing before the earth was ever made. He said, you know, God, they were there and then God started to speak and create. So he saw things. God showed him what happened in the garden. He showed him these things so that he could write the book of Genesis. So Moses was an amazing man. So he was up there all this time. And when he came down from the mountain, he discovered that all the Israelites, God, we need a God. You know, Moses not here. We need a God. Let's make a golden calf. What a good idea. And so here they are. They threw all their gold, all their, must have had a lot of gold because, and then when Moses came down, it's like, who was it, Aaron? Like sort of said, we did this, and suddenly here was this calf, It popped out of nowhere. They were freaked out. When Moses came down, they were freaked out. Now, interesting thing about this, because he has so much glory. He came out like a shiny one. I tell you, he came from there shining with the glory of God and the Spirit of God all over him. And there, and I tell you, but he, and he was bringing the tablets, you know, that what God had written, the commandments of the law. And the result was 3,000 people died for their sin that day under judgment from God, because the Bible says the letter kills. Remember, this is pre-Jesus. Pre-Jesus. So 3,000 people died. But the glory was so strong. The law reveals man's condition without a saviour. The penalty for sin is judgment and is death. Without a saviour. Jesus took God's judgment for sin. We know that. On the cross. And rose from the dead. Ascended into heaven. That whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out on the disciples in that upper room. And as they spilled out, filled with the fire, fire was on them, the glory of God was on them, and they spilled out to where all those sinners were. But the interesting thing is, instead of 3,000 dying, 3,000 gave their hearts to Jesus Christ. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And we're the ones who carry the Spirit of life. Isn't that awesome? Because God is not, he put judgment on Jesus for sin on Jesus. He's not holding the world, he's not holding people's sins against them. But the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Can't get there any other way, because he was the one that took sin for all mankind from the beginning of time to the end of time. No one else could do that. But isn't that interesting? What a difference. 3,000 dead, 3,000 alive. We're ministers of the Spirit. Wherever we go, we're bringing life. We're bringing hope. We're bringing healing. We're not bringing judgment. We're not bringing condemnation. We're bringing freedom, joy, peace. Amen? Revelation. Truth. That's what we are, justice. You know, we can get angry about justice. We can expect justice with we're ministers of the Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Isn't that exciting? I like that. Okay, then. So we're ministers of life. It tells us in 2 Corinthians 3:18, we are being changed into the image of Christ from glory to glory to glory. To glory. There's going to be more. There's glory in us, but I tell you what, you ain't seen nothing yet. We're going to be changed from one degree of glory to another till there's so much glory on us, people will see it. How about that? And we'll, you know, that people, you'll walk by people and they'll cry and they want to be saved. People will be healed, just like Peter. He had glory on him. He walked past the down the street, and people just lay sick people, and as he walked by, people were healed. This is the sort of power I'm talking about that God wants to see in the earth today on a big scale. So we're in for some exciting days, guys. So don't be discouraged, don't be defeated. I think the devil's just having his big last final fight. But his days are numbered for now. He'll have his little moment on this earth, but we'll be gone by then. We'll be out of here. Yes, take as many as we can. We'll take a whole bunch with us, a whole bunch of people. Yeah. So as ministers of life, ministers of the Spirit, we're to create life-giving atmospheres wherever we go. We carry an atmosphere with us. Isn't that right? You can feel it. When somebody comes in with the Spirit of heaviness, you immediately feel it, don't you? But we're ministers of life, so we've got to carry or create an atmosphere. If you're in fear, then you'll carry an atmosphere of fear around you. If you are angry, you'll carry an atmosphere of anger. And if you're happy, you'll carry an atmosphere of joy. If you have peace, you carry that, you create that peace. If you if you carry faith, then you create an atmosphere of faith. See? Isn't that good? So look, we need to be ministers of the Spirit. We put on the garment of praise. Put it on. for the spirit of heaviness. If the enemy tries to put it on you, say, no, I don't receive that garment. I put on the garment of praise. And then just start worshiping God and declaring who you are. See, we can choose what sort of atmosphere we live in and that we create. But we are ministers of life. So we should be bringing hope, joy, peace, wholeness, well-being, all of these amazing things. And as ministers, we have access to the Father. It says in Ephesians 2:18, through him we have access, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. So we have access to the Father's heart. Isn't that lovely? You know, we have access to God's real heart. You know, remember when Jesus was in that room? I don't even know what the time is. You can tell me, anybody? Oh, that's all right. Got a bit longer. Remember Jesus was in this place, and it's actually the place where they brought the man down through, you know, the roof. But before that happened, you know, and they're all the Pharisees, you know, these religious people. They're not very nice. Religious people aren't very nice. We're not religious. We're ministers of the Spirit, of joy and peace. But the Pharisees and the Sadducees were there, criticizing in their heart, judging in their hearts. But it said the Spirit of the Lord was there to heal. And so the Spirit is, and many times we can miss it. People miss it. They miss it. The Spirit of God is here to heal. He's here today to heal. Absolutely. He's here to heal. It's who he is. Because where the Spirit is, there's life every time. And so we only know that one person was saved. It was those who really pushed their way in there to get saved. That man that was on the stretcher was raised up and healed. But we have a responsibility to charge the atmosphere with faith and fill our house with faith. Fill it with the Spirit of God. Fill it, wherever you go, your workplace, you could work, go in there and you start releasing the anointing. You start releasing God to wherever you are. Put up with darkness where you are. You know, you can say, all right, I'll just perhaps not go say, okay, I just evict all the darkness out of here. You'll freak everybody out. But before you get there, you can evict it out. And then when you get in there quietly, you could just be, you know, out quiet. When you know, just quietly and under your breath, you know, go into the ladies or the men's, whatever, and make sure nobody's in the other cubicle and just say a few things, okay? But so we could change the atmosphere of where we work and wherever we are and release the anointing of God every time. I don't even know where I am up to now. I'm trying to speed through this. God is so good, because I want to just have time to pray with you guys. I think it's really important. We want to pray with you. So as I say, we create the atmosphere. When we raise our hands, that's an action which helps to create an atmosphere of praise. You remember the story of in Exodus 17, and Joshua was fighting in the plains of Amalek, fighting the, you know, armies that had come against them. Moses was on top of the hill, with Aaron and Hur, and he was holding up the rod of God. God told him to raise your hands and raise the rod. And every time when that rod was raised, they were winning the battle. Every time, Joshua, they were winning the battle. But then, you know, Moses' arms got tired, and when that rod started to come down, they started to lose the battle. And so Aaron and Hur got behind him and held his arms up so they could win that battle. So when you're fighting a battle, we need to have our hands up. We need to be worshiping God. We need to be thanking God. We need to be praising God. God, you're for me, not against me. God, you're with me in this situation. You know, start declaring things and speak life into that situation. Philemon 1:6, it says that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Start acknowledging every good thing that God has done. Acknowledge every good thing that he's done for you. He's done for your family, whatever it is. So the sharing of your faith becomes effective by acknowledging every good thing which is in you in Christ, whatever he's done. So we need to acknowledge things as the ministers of God. Acknowledge the great things that God has done. And when we do that, we release the power of God into that situation. And that is living as a minister of the Spirit of God. Okay, so winding down, we have the privilege of working together with God as ministers. He wants us to move in His Spirit and carry His presence wherever we go. In Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. In the same way we are to live a lifestyle of faith, we are to live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. So remember how we read that the Holy Spirit will come and you'll be endued with power from on high. To be endued means to be clothed. It's like a, you know, like your garment you're wearing. We'd be clothed, endued with power, clothed in His power of the Spirit. You know, in the Old Testament, the priest, before they could ever go into the holy part, into the tabernacle, they had to change all their clothes. Everything, they had to put on special clothes that God had told them how to make them, what they to look like. Everything, right down to the undergarments. Everything was totally put on when they went into that place. And today, for us to be clothed in the power of the Spirit, we need to not only be seen to be clothed in the Spirit, but we need to make sure that the hidden places in our hearts and in our lives are brought under the scrutiny of the Holy Spirit, so that we are clothed outwardly and inwardly, totally. That's why it says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow forces of life. So we've got to put off the garments that need to be put off. Amen? Put off the anxiety. Put off the heaviness. Put off the doubt. Put off the unbelief. Put off the fear. Put off the anger, the unforgiveness, the offences. Just get rid of them. Just garbage. They're soiled. They truly are. If you could see them, it looks like soiled clothing. Would you go out to work in soiled clothing? Soiled underwear? No, I hope. Surely hope. A bit graphic, isn't it? But there you are. That's what it's like in the spirit realm. Change your undies, for goodness sake. Get some clean clothes on. There's spots all over that. You know, if you go out and you're like, oh, I've got a big stain here, do you go out to work with that? No, you take it off and put on another dress or another trouser or shirt. You don't go to shirt with muck all hanging down it, do you? I hope not. If you do, you clean yourself up. But that's what we've got to be in the spiritual. Change who you are on the inside. Don't allow that muck to be in there. Get rid of it. And be clothed on the outside. Be clothed on the inside. Start being nice and lovely. Be people of faith. Be people of who you are. You're filled with the Spirit of God. You know, you're God wants you to be glorious for Him. So we've got to make sure we don't sow to the flesh, but we sow to the Spirit. Isn't that right? We sow to the flesh when we're fearful. That's exactly right. When we talk negatively, we're sowing to the flesh. But we're told to be ministers of the Spirit, and we sow to life. We sow to we speak faith. You know, we don't speak the doubt and fear. We don't speak the fear. It's so easy. I mean, I fall for it too. Don't worry, I do. But you've got to repent. That's so good. When we have a repentant heart, we just the blood of Jesus does this all the time, cleansing us, making us whole. So we sow in the Spirit. Every time we rejoice, we're sowing to the Spirit. Every time you declare good things about what God is doing, you're sowing to the Spirit. So we are ministers of life, and we've got to sow to the Spirit and rejoice in the Lord always. Amen? So thanks, guys, for coming up. You can just start playing. I just would like to invite you up, and we'd like to pray with you. Maybe if you've never been filled with the Spirit of God, or you're not sure, and you're just like to be filled again even. Or if you have never spoken in tongues, we can pray to get the release so you can speak with your heavenly language. We need to start declaring that I am a minister of the Spirit. I am filled with the Holy Spirit. I use my private prayer language and tongues. I walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. You know, you start speaking these things. I lay hands on the sick and they recover. I expect to see miracles. I carry His presence with me wherever I go. And I'm charged with the power of Almighty God. These are the sort of things we need to do. All right? Praise the Lord. Father, I just thank You for Your word this day. And I thank You for the powerful Holy Spirit. I thank You, Father, that You want to empower us as ministers of the Spirit. And Father, I just pray everyone here can be powerful for You. That they would demonstrate Your goodness. They'll demonstrate Your life. They would demonstrate Your love, Father God. And Father, I just thank You, Lord, that we'll not put up with being mediocre. We'll not put up with being weak. But we will be strong, Father. In our moment of weakness, Father, You're there. Holy Spirit, You come and You strengthen us with might, by Your Spirit in our inner man. So, Father, we thank You. We praise You. And I just please invite you, if you want to come up and get a dose of the Holy Spirit, please come up now. And we can pray with you. Don't be shy. Children are welcome up. Anyone's welcome. Young, old, anything in between.